Today we have a very serious episode where we're going to address grid issues and grid failure with Maria Sumnich. Maria is an expert in many topics, and she is a National Director of Cybersecurity, Task Force on National and Homeland Security, National Director of Cybersecurity.
On the cyber side, there's equipment on our grid that has been purchased from adversarial nation states. All they have to do is flip off the switch.
Valuable and free information from experts are contained in the short 7 to 15 minute podcast. We want to help people understand the various end time threats and provide real time solutions along with the tools needed for their friends, families, and businesses to survive. Followers of our channel can receive a free action guide on each topic weekly. We hope that these guides will help people prepare for the serious threats we all face at this time in history. Well, we're pleased today to have Maria online, and she's got many, many, many experiences that are probably going to end up in about a dozen podcasts with us. But today, because of her background and her history, we're going to let her share with this audience all about the power grid, in which I've titled Grid Issues and Failures. And so today, welcome. And Maria, I appreciate you taking the time to share this wisdom with us and your experience about the power grid. So tell us a little bit about how you even got involved in understanding the grid and how it works and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, how I got involved in the power grid. Actually, that stemmed from my position in New York City Cyber Command. And initially, I was responsible for the cybersecurity posture of all IoT, the Internet of Things, being procured and deployed on the city street. And IoT stands for the Internet of Things. just in case people don't know. And so that includes things like cameras, sensors, 4G LTE modems, GPS transponders on first responder vehicles. I mean, a whole host of things. Communication devices for police department, you know, anything that's not in a data center. So I was doing that for a couple years, and the city was trying to hire an infrastructure person, sort of an equivalent of what I was doing in the IoT space, and they couldn't find one. So they approached me and asked me if I would like to take that over too. Of course, my first response was, do I get the pay of the on top of the
car? You get that extra money? What's the deal on that, right?
No, of course not. But I saw the city needed someone to at least run with that for a while, and was then responsible for the industrial control systems being procured by the city, like city lighting, building lighting automation systems, HVAC systems, and, you know, other types of solar power. And then it wasn't like I didn't have enough work. The city then asked me, would I be interested in taking on the security assessment of the city's water system? So so I said yes, mostly for experience, right? You know, of course, I had no experience in that space. But I rolled up my sleeves and dove in, and learned a lot about water systems and their vulnerabilities. And with that, when I left New York City, I started to do several speaking engagements at security conferences about the things I did and learned in New York City, and how vulnerable we are. That got me tied into the EMP Task Force on Homeland Security, which is a nonprofit task force of industry experts. And some of the folks I work with on this task force, what we do is we identify problems, put together possible solutions, and then we present them before Congress. So that's what I've been doing. So I've presented grid vulnerability and as well as water systems vulnerability to Congress, to the various subcommittees on resiliency and infrastructure security.
With all that, what is your take on the power grid in general in terms of all these e-cars and all this other stuff that's going on? I had a conversation with an engineer, and he told me if we keep selling e-cars, there's not going to be a grid. So I don't know, because of where you've been, in New York City is probably a good example. Tell us about what you think about the actual power grid being it's sustainable.
Currently, it's not sustainable because our infrastructure is very old. We've barely built any new power facilities. You know, that includes nuclear. We've done some solar facilities, but they're very limited in scope and can really only provide power and not consistently. We can ask the state of Texas on that one, right?
Oh, yeah, that was a train wreck.
So right now we don't have enough power to support any sort of infrastructure for charging stations for electrical cars or, you know, for e-cars. We don't have enough power facilities to support the massive data centers that are currently being built.
Oh, yeah.
And even on hot days or very, very cold days, when people are running their heat, their AC or their heating systems, that puts a stress on the old infrastructure that we have. And on top of that, we have placed in our grid various, I'm trying to, you know, be so.
Don't get in trouble here today. Just tell us how it is, but I don't want anybody knocking on your door tonight.
We placed equipment on our grid from nation states that we consider adversarial. And, and if we, as a former software engineer who's written a lot of code, we always wrote back doors. And so there's no way that there aren't any back doors in this, in these equipments. And these equipments are the very large transformers. I mean, these things are the size of a 4 to 5 story building and probably the size of a home, you know, like a 3,000 square foot home, you know, in footprint. These things are huge. And, we don't have any backup supplies for them. There's a wait of at least 18 months to 2 years, if we're lucky, if something happens to one of them and we have to replace it. And they're very expensive, so we don't have any in stock anywhere to immediately take care of a present issue, right? Maybe if one of them suffers some sort of attack, we don't have any way of replacing them. So
well, you're freaking everybody out right now. I'm telling you that.
It's very deep, and that's just on the equipment side. And then we have, I mean, how many of you drive by these large substations, you know, in and around your neighborhoods and your cities, and the only thing really securing them is about a 5 foot chain link fence. There is no other form of security, physical security systems around them. So they can easily be, compromised and taken down. And I'll use the Metcalf incident in Santa Clara County. I was unfortunate enough to live in the neighborhood that got affected when they shot the Metcalf substation, which basically supplied power north of San Jose into the San Francisco Peninsula. So
what do you mean shot? What do you mean by shot? Shot it like with a gun or something?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Yeah,
you can Google that and Metcalf incident, and it was shot with, well, they say with rifle fire, but you know, I personally believe it was probably some sort of high powered automatic weaponry. I'm not a ballistics expert, but I saw images of that. So
Shut it down. Is that what it did?
It did. Yeah. And it took a while for that to be replaced. Now, in the meanwhile, they did have a sort of backup. Because it's Silicon Valley, right? There was a backup mechanism there, but not all areas are like that. The only reason is because it was Silicon Valley, but I can
and
guarantee
they had the money. Yeah. Well, yeah. The other thing, you know, this podcast is all about worldwide threats, all about freaking people out, but it's also about giving them some peace here. So, you know, and everybody thinks about this, like you talk about Texas, when, you know, Texas got more oil than anybody and their dang power goes out a couple of years ago in the middle of winter because they're running on windmills or whatever they're doing. It's a very serious thing. And like what you're talking about, just these power stations only have a little fence around them. So if somebody really wanted to take one out, it wouldn't be a big deal. But we're in the middle of winter. But how do you see this grid threat when it's tied to cyber issues or something? I saw in your content about surveillance grids. What's that about?
Well, surveillance grid is actually a company that I co-founded, and we actually did physical security around two of America's at the time largest solar facility. One is called Topaz, which is down in the Lancaster area, and the other one is Solar Star. And they're both located in California, and they were 550 megawatt facilities, acres and acres and acres.
Big.
I mean, it's thousands of acres of panels.
Really?
And it looks pretty ugly on the landscape, and they tried their best to not to make it environmentally friendly to the migrating wildlife of the area. And and we did a perimeter security around the entire facility, which tells you how many miles of wireless camera systems around those two facilities. But solar, that those two plants each probably sustained about 3,500 homes, and that's at the 600 watt. That's nothing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So in order to actually power using solar, let's say a city like Dallas, you know, the whole surrounding area would have to be solar fields. You know, when you consider how many homes are in the Dallas Fort Worth area, right? Single family homes. So solar is not a scalable solution. It really is not.
Where's the cyber problem on this stuff? Where's the cyber problem on the grid? I get the fact that they come out and just beat down a fence or shoot something, but on the cyber side, what's going on the grid? Or do you
On the cyber side, there's two facets, if not more, but two is definite, you know, identifiable ones. So the first one is that there's equipment on the network, on our grid, that has been purchased from adversarial nation states. And
we just talked about China.
Yeah. And all they have to do is flip off the switch. If you look at the grid in the country of Ecuador, it was basically completely renewed. They tore everything down and they put new equipment I would say 90%, if not all of it, is it, because I haven't seen an architecture, a complete architecture diagram of that. But they replaced everything with Chinese transformers, Chinese equipment. And they were able last year to shut down that country completely. This is the first time an entire country has gone no power.
Turn a switch, just flip a switch and they can turn off the country? Oh my gosh.
So if we thought, you know, I actually had a meeting with some FBI officials, and I actually told them that. I said, you know, it would be interesting to do a forensic mapping of the equipment that is deployed in Ecuador, and then compare that to any equipment of the same type that is deployed here in the United States of America. Do you see the correlation there?
Yeah. Are you sleeping all right?
I do. I sleep. Actually, I went a lot of sleepless nights in New York City, because when I, you know, I found out some of the things that I knew, you know, it was like, there's 11 million people.
My gosh.
If they can take out our grid,
or
even let's say everything east of the Mississippi, that is not a good thing. I mean, we saw what happened with the Colonial Pipeline and how it and basically how it paralyzed the Southeast. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
So just imagine. If the power goes out, if they flip the switch, I mean, you can Google stories of in Ecuador, the subway just stopped, you know, people caught in the underground, everything. I just imagine no power to gasoline pumps, hospitals can survive for a certain amount of time. It depends on how much fuel they have to run their backup generators. Same with water treatment facilities. But sooner or later, they're going to need more fuel, and they won't be able to get any without power.
To get it there. What we try to do with this podcast is give people the drama and give them some peace in their hearts. And so with a couple minutes, just tell us from your perspective, your spiritual perspective, your experience, what would you say to my audience about having peace about this grid thing?
I always find peace in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With everything I do know, I always go back and I leave it in his hands, right? The best thing to do is to be prepared. Be like Joseph. Go back, even if you're not a believer, go and read the Old Testament, the story of Joseph and the seven-year famine, and how he prepared a nation, not just a nation. He didn't just prepare the nation of Egypt, but he stored up enough grain where all the countries from around whatever the world was like came to him, because he was that prepared. I'm not saying, you can't be prepared for the whole, for this, but you can be prepared for your family and have extra supplies for neighbors. Know that when things get tough, be that person that is going to step up and be the rational one to calm everyone down. And those are the things. Have generators, different types of generators, gas powered generators, have solar powered generators, have plenty of food on hand, and learn ways to preserve your meat. I highly recommend everybody go get, one of those 20-pound barbecue propane, get the various tubes and connectors, and get a little buddy heater. Buddy heaters, you can buy them on Amazon. And they are for indoor use. They're rated for indoor use, you know, but also just in case, get yourself a $15 little propane detector. And if the power goes out and it's very cold, you can at least go into one room and turn on that little buddy heater. And with that 20-pound propane tank, it will last you 10 days.
That's great. Nice and warm.
And you can at least do that, and that'll run you under $200 just to get the mini buddy and the propane and all the hookups. It's not that expensive. You can go to Home Depot, Lowe's. I prefer that you go to your local hardware stores and buy things locally from folks, from businesses.
The thing I've learned too is that there are some solar generators out there right now. They're not that expensive. That will run. You can have them charge, and if they go down, you can put a couple panels out, and it'll give you enough to give you six outlets or something. And there's some solar stuff for cell phones and stuff that's out there. So we want to give people hope that there is stuff out there they can get that'll give them some kind of power stuff if they can't go get it, can't get power. But I think that's a good way to look at it, because what you're talking about is be prepared. And we're going to do more on this podcast about how people can prepare for different things, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's important. What I'm going to do is I'm going to let you go back to work, and I'm going to call you again to get some of this other great, by the way, this audience needs to know this woman knows all about NASA. That's going to be a fun conversation. And so we really appreciate how busy you are and what you're doing. And they can look you up on LinkedIn.
Yes.
You'll be on the Action Guide and all your RIP material and stuff. All right, girl. Well, have a good day. We're going to close this out. I appreciate you, and we'll be back in touch.
Yeah, stay Thank warm, you. Everyone. God bless.
All right. I hope you're blessed with this information. Please like, subscribe, and click on the notification tab to our channel, and we will send you advanced notices about upcoming threats to be discussed. Remember to capture the free action guides via our QR code embedded in the episode at the end. As a registered follower of the Worldwide Threat Podcast, you have our permission to download and share every episode and free action guide with your friends, family, and other businesses. Each Thursday, we'll post a new subject for you to consider and discuss. Set your watch to watch and to download the free action guide. Thank you. This is John White, the host of the Worldwide Threat Podcast. Please check out everything we're doing, and blessings to you and your family.